Whitney Pittman on the Red River Farm Network from Washington, D.C. We are in Congressman Kelly Armstrong's office here and talking a little bit about WOTUS. You had a statement out here a couple weeks ago or last week talking about what that means for North Dakota, and now there's an injunction. So tell us your take on that and what you're looking forward to going on with that whole case and whatnot. So going forward.
Well, obviously, we passed a CRA to repeal WOTUS, and then just yesterday we had the vote to override the president's veto. Unfortunately, we couldn't get any of our Democratic colleagues to agree with us, so the president's veto stands. But the other answer is there is an injunction in place, and that's kind of the weird thing that's happened with WOTUS. Ever since it was originally introduced by Barack Obama, it's never actually been law, at least in North Dakota. Wayne Stengem, our former attorney general, was one of the state attorney generals that led the charge to get that 2015 injunction in place. Obviously, President Trump tried to repeal more of the draconian pieces of WOTUS. That got held up for various different reasons. And President Biden's solution was apparently to write a worse bill or worse piece of regulation than President Obama did. And that currently is being held by injunctive relief. So while we didn't fail to, or while we failed in Congress to override President Biden's veto, WOTUS is not the law of the land. WOTUS has never been the law of the land, which is a really good thing for North Dakota farmers and cattle ranchers and anybody who cares about states' rights versus federal overreach.
So right now, Farm Bill is, of course, a big topic of conversation. We heard from Dusty Johnson in South Dakota about the oxygen in the room is maybe being taken up a little bit with the debt ceiling issue. So can you dive into what you're thinking about on that front?
Well, yeah, and I think that's accurate. I mean, the debt ceiling's coming up. I think we'll get a bill across to the Senate next week for Republican solutions to raising our debt limit and curbing our spending. I think sometimes not having the oxygen in the room is a good thing. Farm bill is cut by the four corners, right? It's the Democratic leadership in the House, Democratic leadership in the Senate, Republican leadership in the House, and Republican leadership in the Senate. It's going to be a tough slog. It's a tough slog every year when it comes up. This is a pretty polarized time. But, you know, when you got guys like Dusty Johnson and GT Thompson, and they get along really well and working for us, I think everybody, you know, I talked to Frank Lucas yesterday. He's like, they've had 4 inches of rain in the last 6 months in Oklahoma. He said, we're getting a farm bill done. And it's always heartening to hear from a guy like Frank, because Frank's been here for a long time. He's seen the good fights, the bad fights. He's seen all of that. So I know there's a lot of people working really hard, and I'm still cautiously optimistic that we can get it done on time.
And that was going to be my next question here. The last time we talked, you had said the same thing, cautiously optimistic. So that opinion still holds true?
It's just one of the must-pass bills. And to be honest, we don't have a lot of must-pass bills. You know, you've got national defense authorization that we have to do. We'll have to get our appropriate bills out. Obviously, we'll figure out debt ceiling. But I think there just are enough people that recognize how important, particularly right now, right? 35% of the world's wheat comes from the Donbas region of the Ukraine. We're dealing with a lot of different regulatory issues that are making it harder for our producers to do what we do best, which is feed the world. And so recognizing how important things like crop insurance, we know it in North Dakota right now, we're all ready for winter to end. We just don't want all the snow to melt in the same 36 hours. Heart River in the western part of the state's been roaring. You know, they were sandbagging in Fargo, so we understand a lot of those different issues. Farmers are already going to be late to the fields because of how much snow we've had and how late the melt has been. So farm bill's really, really important, and we're going to work hard to get it across the finish line.
You touched a little bit on regulation. Is there anything coming down the pike that is concerning that you're keeping an eye on?
Well, I think there's good and bad, right? We passed H.R. 1, which had NEPA reform, infrastructure reform, all of those different issues. You know, we know this better in North Dakota than anywhere else, geographic center of North America. It doesn't matter if it's natural gas, doesn't matter if it's corn, doesn't matter if it's coal, we got to move it to market. And we're going to continue to do that. And part of that solution is making sure we get infrastructure in the ground in a meaningful way to do it. But yeah, I mean, I think we're all concerned. This climate, this race to climate utopia that really can't can't exist. Is, I mean, the EPA in a lot of ways wants to turn everybody into an organic farmer, whether they want to be an organic farmer or not. And we got to continue to push back on that kind of regulation. Because one of the things I think we forget out here a lot, and I think Republicans are guilty of this too, it's never been a fight about regulation versus no regulation. It's never been what the fight is about. WOTUS is a perfect example. A lot of the EPA regs is an example. It's a difference between what letting states who produce, who live off the land, who do that, and our ag producers and our family farms and our communities to determine their destiny instead of the federal government doing it. North Dakotans care a lot about the outdoors. They care about a lot about their land. There's nobody better steward for the land than a cattle rancher or a farmer in the Red River Valley. How about we let them in the state of North Dakota make the decisions and not some bureaucrat sitting in a cubicle in downtown D.C.? Farming in the Red River Valley is very different than farming south of Richardson, North Dakota, and that's all in the same state, let alone having decisions made by somebody who thinks a version of the outdoors is Central Park or those types of things. So, they don't set out necessarily to make everybody's life harder, they just do. And we want people making decisions who actually understand their communities, understand the land, understand water, understand the resource. And I just don't think I don't care if it's a Democrat or a Republican administration. I don't care if it's a Democrat or a Republican bureaucrat. I just want North Dakotans to make North Dakota decisions.
You mentioned a little bit about energy. Can you dive into that some more, committee work there?
Yeah, I mean, obviously HR1 was incredibly important. The last time we brought any real refining capacity online in the United States with any true downstream capacity was 1976 in Louisiana. We used to be the best at this, and it's really important. If you believe, as I do, that 70% of all the inflationary pressures are energy related, it's affecting everything we do. One of the biggest things we get from our farm and ranches is inputs. You know, diesel cost is up. Natural gas is the only feedstock I know of for real commercial fertilizer. When those prices go up, when transportation costs go up, it's even when commodity prices are good, when you're chewing all that up into the transportation and input costs, it doesn't do anything long term. And the other problem we have to really be cognizant of is commodity prices will always go back down. Doesn't matter if it's corn, doesn't matter if it's wheat, doesn't matter if it's oil, doesn't matter if it's natural gas. But when inputs go up, they tend to stay up. So we want to make sure that we're creating a robust dynamic that we can do to ensure that our farmers can maximize profit on their land and continue to produce the things that, quite frankly, they need everywhere in the country and everywhere in the world.
And E15, summer use, where are we at there?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's one of the things I really like about the HR1 and the energy thing. Nobody's, I mean, the new fight, I mean, the old fights used to be versus oil versus blended fuel, and I don't think that's the fight anymore. I think everybody agrees more blended barrels is a good idea. We just need to increase overall capacity, because right now with the refining bottleneck, you have two different problems. One, you now have this administration talking about electric RINs, which isn't going to do anything for corn producers or anything that we do in the Midwest. But the other answer is it doesn't matter if it's ethanol, doesn't matter if it's renewable diesel, doesn't matter if it's renewable aviation fuel. We have to figure out how to get more barrels online in the refining capacity, because then there should be room for everybody.
All right. Anything else of importance for North Dakota farmers before we let you go?
Well, I just hope everybody, I hope the snow gets out of the fields. I hope they don't flood, and I hope they get into planting soon, because it's always tough at what other people call climate crisis. We usually call Tuesday in North Dakota. So we're used to it. I have no doubt they'll get it done, but I know everybody's chomping at the bit to get in the fields.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Congressman Armstrong, for taking the time here to talk with us today. From Washington, D.C., I'm Whitney Pittman on the Red River Farm Network.